beyond my faults and saw my needs. And I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults.
Oh, let's stand together. Love on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Oh, forever. Forever, forever.
To view the cross.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Where Jesus died for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
How marvelous the grace that called my falling soul.
He looked beyond. I shall forever, I shall never forget the day. I shall forever live in that joy and that blessedness of his presence and his grace. Wow, what a joy. What a joy to come today with this broadcast on miracles. Great miracles. Our Father is acting. Our Father is never lazy. Our Father is busy. Our Father is moving right now. Now, I want you to hear me. I want this to make a mark on your thoughts. Our God is moving right now. Our God is in the act mindset. He's in the going forward mindset. And this world is in the hands of a great Jehovah God. And he is going to have the last word. Well, he is going to have the last word. Now, today, I planned this broadcast to take you and show you and deal with the past and then bring it into the future. I don't believe in dealing with the past and wishing for the great old days. We're living in the great old days. We're living in the great new days. I'm here to tell you, God is on the move. I think that's something that really has got a hold of me this week, is that God is on the move. That God is moving right now. That God is already acting. That God's already moving forward. That God's already got things in order. And God is moving toward finality, toward the end of all human existence and the glorious joy of the saints of God in the new heaven and the new earth. My friend, we ought to be the most excited people on the face of this earth. Now, I want to say again, and I really want you to hear this, that God is moving. God is not sitting somewhere in an idle position waiting for the right time to act. God's already acting. God never sits down and lets this world just kind of roll on in his own order. God is in charge and God is in order. And that ought to encourage the daylights out of you. You ought to be jumping up and down to know that God is acting. that God is involved, that God is moving, that God is not on some roller coaster somewhere having pleasure and fun. God is in charge of this world. Woo! That's thrilling to me. Now, when you realize that, then great miracles of the past are only a testimony of the future. Great miracles of the past are only assurance of what God is and always will be. Now, God's true and great Pentecostal anointing, called the latter rain, is about to happen. There is no doubt. I'm here to tell you it is about to happen. God is on the move, and God is preparing. Now, let me remind you that God is a supernatural God. God doesn't act in the natural. He acts in the supernatural. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a human being that he should become idle. God is not some lesser creature that is limited in what he can do. God is almighty. He is Almighty El Shaddai, I like to call him, which means God Almighty. He said himself, I am that I am. That means I am forever, and I always will be forever, and I am that I am. I love the great scripture that talks about my Father's greatness and how great he really is. I'll never forget a man by the name of Glenn Dry, and he introduced me to a saying that he had learned somewhere when he would call God, my Father God. He would call him my Father God, and I learned to love that. God is my Father God. He is God the Father, and is my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Now, God is a supernatural God. The devil is paranormal. The devil can do nothing supernatural. Everything he does is paranormal. God does nothing paranormal, because that's a limited statement, a limited form. So God cannot act in a kind of supernatural fashion. He does things that to us are natural, but to him he does them supernaturally. Hallelujah. Oh, God is the supernatural God. Let me tell you, it is as normal for God to be supernatural as it's normal for you to be natural. God gave me that years ago, and I've always loved it. It is as normal and natural for God to be supernatural as it's normal and natural for me to be natural. I am natural. I'm limited to the natural. I'm limited to that which is of the flesh. I can do nothing supernatural. I'm going to tell you about some wonderful miracles, but I want you to know before I tell you that they don't because of me. That was not something I was capable of doing. I didn't make them happen. They all happened because God was involved in the situation. Let me just tell you one, then we'll read some scripture. I was pastor in Black Mountain Church in Black Mountain, North Carolina. I was there from 64 to 68. And I got a call one morning from a dad and mother who was just very wrought. They'd had a terrible night. Their younger daughter had an asthma attack, and she'd come on the verge of death, and she's now in the hospital, and they asked me, would I go pray for her? Well, I'm delighted to go pray for anybody over the phone, in the present, at the hospital. You know, it doesn't matter with me. But that particular morning, I headed to the hospital, which was the Catholic hospital in Asheville, and went to the hospital. And there lay this little girl. Maybe she was 12, 14. I don't remember for sure. Maybe a little over. I'm not really sure of that. Don't remember the name. But she was very sick. And my heart was moved with compassion. And I went over to pray, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon me. I'd never had an anointing like that to pray for somebody. It was just anointing of healing. And I had, I'm not responsible. I don't get any credit. I'll tell you in a minute how I know I don't get any credit. But that was God's time, and God healed that little girl. I mean, she was healed instantly. It was a miracle, and everybody in the room saw it. Now, the next day, they began to call me to come and pray for these other people. And I went, and I prayed for them, but nothing happened. Not one of those other people were healed, that I know of. But that little girl was healed. Now, see, it wasn't me. It was that anointing, that gift of the Holy Ghost that's called the gifts of healing. That's what the Bible calls it. It's never given to a man or woman because they are somebody. It's given because they are somehow in the right mode, in the right spiritual state, that God can use them. The supernatural act didn't come from the natural person. It came from the supernatural God who used the natural person. And if the person starts taking credit, God doesn't do anything more. It has to always be given to God. He must always get the credit for it. That little darling was perfectly healed because God anointed this unworthy servant to be used by a gift of the Holy Ghost, and God made her well. Now, that's how God heals. God doesn't do supernatural healings because of the person. He does it because somebody is usable. Somebody is usable. Remember that word. You can become usable if you'll stay on your face with God and give all you are to God. I remember a great old prophet of God in the church that I was part of for 40-some years. His name was R.P. Johnson. And he came to the meeting here on Wilkerson Boulevard one year, the camp meeting. They brought him. They had to help him on the stage. He was old, an elderly man, but oh, did he speak for God. He spoke for God. I'm telling you, we still need them old timers. We need those men who can speak for God, because most of the younger generation, they just preach out of their own head, out of their own wisdom. But this man could speak for God. And I remember as he came to a close of his sermon, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And he said, and spoke in tongues, gave a message in tongues, and then he gave the interpretation of the message. And it was, in essence, more to it than just what I'm telling you, but in essence, that message said, if you will make all you are available to God, God will make all he is available to you. I loved it. I'll never forgot it. If you make, excuse me, if you make all you are, if you make all you are available to God, God will make all he is available to you. Now, I really believe that. Now, I'm going to tell you of barren mothers who became pregnant with child because of the prayer of faith. I'm going to tell you of people that were desperately sick and needed a miracle, and God healed them. I'm going to tell you of a garter disappearing over off of a mother's throat. Perfect healing. Never came back. It just disappeared. I can tell you of cancer disappearing from a mother's breast, or cancer disappearing from a man's colon. I mean, God is just a miracle worker, and he longs to do miracles. If I could tell you how much God is interested in showing his power and his glory to you, it would be overwhelming to many of you, because God is interested, and God is moving right now. Hallelujah. Somebody will be healed. I'll get over it in a minute. Somebody will be healed before this program is over. Somebody sitting out there, and you know it's your hour. No, you don't go give me no credit. I don't want it. I want God to get the credit. I want the Father to be glorified in the Son. That's one of the great principles of the Bible. The Father wants to be glorified in his Son. And whatever the Son does, he does to glorify the Father. And whatever the Holy Spirit does, he does it to glorify the Father and the Son. Oh, the Trinity of God is absolutely in order, and God will move if you will let him move. And let me take you in your Bible, and we'll start with Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And I want to read a little bit here of a miracle that God did. And God's always in the business of doing miracles. Do you hear me? And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to meet to land, there met him a man out of the city, or out of the city, a certain man, which had devils for a long time, and no man could clothe him, neither abide, or neither could he abode in any house, but in the tombs. He lived in a cemetery. He lived in the tombs of the dead. He lived in the tombs of the dead. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee? What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." He scared the devil out of the devil. He scared the devil out of those demons. And they cried out in the man, "What have thou to do with me, thou son of God?" Those were demons talking. And this man had come and fell at the feet of Jesus. And so a battle occurs. The battle between the devil and his demons and Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the great Son of God. For he commanded them, listen now, for he commanded them, saying unto them, to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he would break them of pieces, and the man could not be bound. But Jesus had arrived. Oh, glory. But Jesus had arrived. And when Jesus arrived, the demons got scared. I mean, it's a thrilling to me to think of how these demons began to tremble. Why art thou come hither to torment us not? It's not our time, they were suggesting. And many times Jesus had this to happen to him because the devils always knew him. The religious people didn't know him, but the devils knew him. Isn't that amazing? We live in the same kind of day where religious people don't know God, most of them, but the devils know God. And you let the devil-possessed person get in the presence of a Holy Ghost-filled person, and I'm telling you, a battle will ensue. But Jesus will win every time. And so the story goes on that this man was just possessed. He was insane. They couldn't even bind him with chains. He could break chains. That would suggest metal chains, I presume. They could bind him. They could do what they could. He wore no clothes. He lived in the graveyard. He was a wild man. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion." Because many devils were entered into him. Legion. That's what they called it. And he admitted that. The demons admitted that. "We're legion. We're a big crowd. We're bigger than you," they were suggesting. "There's more of us than are you." Well, I can tell you this. And they besought him that he would command them not to go into the deep. That he would not command them to go into the deep. Now, you got to understand that. And they begged Jesus, "Don't send us into hell. Don't send us into hell. Let us be free. We want to do our business in the world." And Jesus, because it wasn't time for judgment, he could have sent them to the deep. He could have sent them to the bottomless pit. He didn't, because their time wasn't yet come, and the judgment wasn't yet complete, and Calvary had not yet occurred. And so Jesus commanded them, and the herd of swine ran into the deep. I mean, ran into the waters and drowned the sheep. Drowned the sheep, and the devils then escaped to find some other person to inhabit and to destroy. And the man, the Bible tells the story. That's the 8th chapter of Luke. Go read it. The Bible tells the story how this man was seen in just a little while sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus had made him well. I love to tell the story of that dear man, probably a father, a husband, going back to the city. The wife sees him coming and she's scared to death. But he cries out, "Don't be afraid of me, honey. I'm a different man. I met Jesus today. I met Jesus today." As you see, I'm starting with a miracle of conversion. I'm starting with a miracle of casting devils out. Casting demons out. And thank God I've seen demons cast out a number of times. I was down in Santo Domingo. And it had been the great storm that happened a few years ago. And the place, much of it was in darkness. Electricity hadn't been restored in many places. And we went to a place to preach. It was just a bunch of buildings that had little stalls like in them where people were living with their families. It was a horrible situation. I wept for days over what I saw there. And so there was a little place out in the open, and they had one light bulb that hung up over our heads. And somehow, I don't know how the electricity got that one light, but there was a light up over our head. And they tried to sing, and it was a dark situation. Hell was right there. I mean, the powers of hell were right there. And they turned it over to me to preach. I had a sermon prepared, but I didn't even remember. I did remember what the sermon was, but God led me a different direction, and I began to preach. And God's anointing came upon me. Not me. had nothing to do with Joe Chambers. Please understand that. But God's anointing came upon me, and I began to challenge the devil out there. I began to challenge the darkness I felt all over that place, and I began to preach Jesus with all my heart. I preached Jesus, and I got down to the altar. Altar time, and I gave an invitation, and I saw two men from the back. They had taken hold of a woman out there and were leading her one on one side, one the other, and almost like braining her, forcing her. I don't know how much force was in it. Wasn't anything violent at all. They brought her in front of me for me to pray for her. And so I stood there and I began to challenge her in the name of Jesus. But when I did, she fell into a roar down on the ground. She went with a violent kind of action. It was an ugly scene. And I had a preacher man there that was a real man of God at that date, that time. And he came over and we began to pray for this dear lady. We laid hands on her and we cried out to the Lord Jesus. In just a few moments' time, she was totally delivered. I mean totally delivered. And then I said, now stand up in the name of Jesus. And she stood up. Now I told her a while ago to say Jesus, and she wouldn't say it. She began to scream. But then I said, will you repeat the name Jesus? And she began to repeat the name Jesus. And she was gloriously saved. She was gloriously delivered. I'll never forget it. And then there came her husband. He was back there with her. And he came up and he was saved. And the last word I heard from them, they were serving the Lord Jesus Christ with their heart. But then I found the true story. She was a witch doctor. And she was back there marching around this crowd, voodooing, putting a voodoo spirit on the atmosphere. And she was hindering everything. They couldn't sing because of her. I got up to preach and I felt this hell coming in my face. And I began to charge it in the name of Jesus. God's anointing had come upon me. I wasn't afraid in the least, not because of me, but because of that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all the miracle that was wrought was indeed beautiful. I'll never forget that miracle in all of my life. It was beautiful. It was great from God. Well, that's the kind of God we serve. And that's what happened here to Jesus. Here come this man possessed with demons. And he was a wild maniac. No clothes. You can imagine what he looked like. Walling up there. Hair probably hanging all over his head. His body was probably hairy. And looking more like an animal than a human being. But in the name of Jesus. It wasn't a little bit until he was saved. And notice it said in the Bible. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, C-L-O-T-H-E-S, clothed, and in his right mind. Well, that's the kind of Jesus we serve. That's the kind of Jesus that's available. And he's available right now. He can reach all over my audience. Oh, I feel it by the Holy Spirit today. I know that God laid this particular message on my heart in this program today. I knew that. I felt it. I'm going to preach tomorrow a similar message and tell different miracles that I've saw God work through the years. And I'm nothing. I am so nothing until I feel almost unnormal because I'm so nothing. You know, it's only God who does these kind of things. And the church world has got to get back to this. We got to get back to this. We got to, I'm telling you, we're on our way. I don't know how many. I don't have no list of a lot of people who are hungry for this. I have a few names that I know. I have others that resist everything I say. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear that God is still in the miracle working business. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is in the miracle working business. You know what happened to me a year ago? I came into December of 18, and I was so sick. Mom had been dead 16 months, and I'd grieved until I was a walking death. Everything in my body, all the way to my neck, was just out of control. Every kind of knot and every kind of hurt and every kind of feeling. People looking at me and saying, Brother Chambers, you're losing weight terribly. Brother Chambers, you're going to die. You know that? Get ready. You're fixing a pass. I said, no, I'm not. You know what God spoke to me? I was digging in, praying, and God said, if you go to the hospital and you go to trusting in the doctors that nurse the flesh, you're going to die. But if you'll trust in me, God said, I will heal you and I'll restore your youth. I'll heal you. That's what God told me. I was in late December, right at the beginning of January 2019. Right at the beginning of January 2019. And so I put myself in the hands of God. I did little things to try to ease the pain. I'd put things on to try to somehow give me a little relief. And I kept doing the little things I knew to do in the natural. Nothing, of course, of the doctors, but just of the natural. And 3 months, I was just extremely sick. I never forget, a man brought me in my office right near the end of March and said, you know, Brother Chambers, you got to accept that you are dying. I said, no, I'm not dying. You got to understand, I'm already getting better. Well, I could feel it. I could sense it. And by the end of March and the beginning of April, I was perfectly healed. And God made me every whit whole. Do you understand? God made me every whit whole. Now, my eyes are still very, very weak. And the doctor says I'm going to lose my sight and become blind. But I know it's not going to happen. God's going to heal me. I cried out on Facebook this morning and said, everybody, please pray for me that God will heal these old eyes. You see how I have to grab my Bible and I have to get it up close to my eyes. And this is the biggest thing you can get in print. If anybody knows something more than a 14, you tell me I need a Bible that's about a 20. So I can, but then I couldn't carry it. It'd be so heavy. This one sometimes slides out of my hands because it's so heavy. And it's none but a Bible. There's no room for any commentary in this Bible. I just need the words as big as I can get them. But you just understand, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. There's no such thing as failure in the mind of the Lord. He's a supernatural God. He is a supernatural God. And can I tell you something that really helps us? This Bible is a perfect book. It's absolute. There is nothing in this Bible you can't take to the bank. You know what I mean? When somebody gives you a promise of a certain amount of dollars, they're good for it, and you know they're faithful, you can take it to the bank. You can tell the bank it'll be here on such and such date and know it because you got an honest person. Well, here's an honest God who's already given you the absolute word, and every word of it is as true as I sit here, and nothing in it can fail. When God says, if you lean on the arm of the flesh, cursed is he that leaneth on the arm of the flesh. And yet we have a whole world that all they lean on is the arm of the flesh. And they get mad at me. Oh, I have people that get so mad at me because I trust God with my body. But I that's just my faith. I believe God. He's healed me so many times. Let me tell you one of my healings. It was 1964. It was a year that President Kennedy had been assassinated. I was pastor in Rockwell, North Carolina. I received my appointment in middle of the year to go to Black Mountain. And I went to the General Assembly in Dallas, Texas. I think it was Texas or somewhere in Texas. Maybe not Dallas, but I think it was Dallas. And went there for the General Assembly. And on the way, my wife and I, my sweetheart Juanita, and we'd got a dear brother, Brother Benjamin Black, and his sweetheart wife, and we was riding together. And was on our way to Texas, and we got to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I'll never forget that night. We rented motels to spend the night, and Mom and I in a room, and I got sick. I mean, I got sick. Well, several months earlier, I had developed a gallbladder problem that was very serious. I went to the doctor at Faith. That's a little town not far from Salisbury. I presume they still have a doctor there. I'm not sure, but they had a doctor there. And I went and met him. I told him why I was coming. I said, now, I don't take medicine. I trust God. But I want to know if you would do analysis of me and check on me and find out what's wrong. I need to know how to pray. I need to know what is just killing me right down here in my left side. I need to know what's taking place. And he did all the check. And when he got through with his test, I don't remember, urine test. I don't know what all kind of tests it was, several of them. When he got through, he said, you have a gallbladder attack. Your gallbladder needs to be taken out of there. And I said, well, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God to give me a miracle. So we're on our way to Tuscaloosa, and we stop at this motel, and I get sick. I don't mean I get a little bit sick. I get big, bad sick. And we called Brother and Sister Black, my wife and I, and said, come over and let's pray for Brother Joe. We got to take him home. He's not going to be able to go to Texas like this. And so they came over and prayed. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me. I'm here to tell you, when they start praying for me, I felt it go in my head and I felt it go out my feet. And I was perfectly healed right there in that motel room. And I knew I was healed. There was no doubt about it. Well, we go on to Texas and we get there early, a day early, and we decide we will walk to the place where President Kennedy was shot. You remember seeing that on the news. We walked to that place, and on our way there, this attack hit me. I mean, it hit me hard. I didn't tell anybody. I just held on to myself, and I cried out to God way inside. I didn't say anything out loud. I just cried out to God. I said, now, God, I know that's the devil. I know he is intending on bringing this back on me. And so he's putting the expressions of it, the sense of it on my body. And I've got to be healed. And I said, I'm claiming it right now. And I believe it to disappear. Well, standing there, walking there, I don't remember exactly how the position was. I felt healing and it disappeared. And would you believe? That was 64. Now, you know how long ago 64 would be. That would be 56 years. Am I right? 64 would be 56 years. And that gallbladder is still in there. That gallbladder is still in there. Now, I felt it last year when I was sick. And I felt like it was just coming apart again. But when he healed me, he took care of all of it. And so it disappeared. So that gallbladder is still in after 56 years because the Master healed me. See, that's divine virtue. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me being good. It has to do with me trusting and depending and believing. And you can believe, and God will give you a miracle. God's a miracle worker. He never fails. He's the great God. Well, I don't want you to put nothing on words from a man. I don't want you to trust in nothing that has to do with flesh. I want you to trust in God. I want you to know that it's God that does these things. So let's go to another great miracle, another great thing. Same book, Luke. I like Luke. Oh, Luke was the physician that turned a miracle worker. Isn't that something? Luke was the physician that turned into a miracle worker. You never hear him talking about medicine again. He talks about the mighty Christ, the mighty Christ. Well, in the book of Luke, chapter 8, make sure I find my right place here, and we'll go to verse 42. Let me read 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had a daughter. He had a daughter, his only daughter, about 12 years of age. And she was dying. And she was dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. As he went, the people thronged him. Now, I won't get back to that miracle, but I can tell you Jesus said she's healed, and she was healed at that very hour. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years and had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could she be healed of any. Well, physicians don't heal. They'll tell you that. They give you medicine to kill whatever is killing you. That's what a doctor does. That's what they know. Don't put them down because the world that don't know Jesus need them. The world that don't know anything about this Bible, they need them. Doctors are needed by the worldly crowd. They aren't really needed by you, although most of you use them. I'm not putting them down in the least. There's some great doctors that are good people. But this woman has spent all she had on physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now, I'm going to tell you, at the price of hospitals and the price of doctors and the price of surgery today, you can spend everything you got in a matter of a few weeks. It don't take long to be in a pauper's house when you get sick and you start seeking out all the many cures the world offers. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years and was nothing bettered and only grew worse. Although she'd spent all her money, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. She didn't get his attention. He didn't know who she was. He wasn't looking toward her, but she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. She was healed instantly. She was healed instantly. I know what it feels like because I've been there. I've been healed instantly. I'll tell you something. When you ever get healed one time instantly, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. It can happen to somebody right now. I stretch my hand out there the best I know how and say, claim it. Don't doubt it another moment. Put your body in his hand and believe him. He's not a liar. He can't tell you he's going to do something and not do it. He can't say by his stripes you are healed and not do it. I mean, it's not possible. The Lord is not human that he can lie. God is eternal. He's supernatural. And what he says, he does. Oh, God, help us. May somebody be healed right now. May some great old grandmother who loves God and you've served him all your life and you've come now with cancer. Why don't you throw yourself on Jesus and say, live or die, sink or swim. I'm gonna trust the Lord and I'm going to depend on him and I'm going to believe in him. He'll do it. Oh, shit. He'll do it. Can I tell you something? He'll do it. And now she came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I feel that virtue is gone out of me. He didn't see the woman, but something in Jesus. And virtue went out of him and into her. And the issue of blood stanched immediately. She was perfectly healed. Hallelujah. And you know, there's so many of them in the Bible. I love the one. It's also in Luke where the woman came, was bowed over, and she was bent over, her nose almost touching her knees. And she was just a crippled old woman. And she came to Jesus, and Jesus healed her, and she stood up straight, and the Jews started fussing. They started having a fit. It was a Sabbath day. He said, shall not this woman whom the devil has afflicted these many years, she's a mother of Israel. He said that. He called her a mother of Israel. Should she not be delivered? You need to be delivered, friend. I'm here on this radio believing that God in his mighty power will heal right now throughout the radio land. It don't matter what country you live in. It don't matter what your nationality. It don't care what color your skin is. I don't care how much the Bible you know or don't know. I'm telling you that Jesus wants to heal you. That Jesus wants to make you whole. Let me tell you about a young man named Barry Kilman. He's passed now, so I can use his name. I don't think his family would mind. He came home from the service, him and Betty, his wife, and they started just kind of being at church a little bit. I started visiting him. He was kind of like a motorcycle gang looking guy. All this hair, you know, on his face, and a sweetheart man. And I went to visit him. And Barry became sick with tonsillitis. And they put him in the hospital. So he's not a believer yet. He's not surrendered to Christ. Just a decent young man that I've given myself to be a blessing to. And he goes and has his tonsils taken out and comes home. Well, he was the kind of guy that you couldn't get him in a doctor's office hardly unless it was desperate. And so his tonsils and throat had swollen until he couldn't even drink water. Betty called me and said, Brother Chambers, can you come and pray for Barry? He can't even drink a drink of water. He's desperate, and I can't get him to go to the hospital. I can't get him to move. He's in the bed. Will you come pray for him? Well, I took off to his house because I was hungry to see him saved, hungry to see Betty saved. I took off to the house, and I don't remember where I got on my knees or stood. I don't know, but I know Jesus became present mightily. I mean, he was there, and I prayed and left Barry believing God. And an hour later, maybe 2 hours later, I don't remember exact time, but Betty called me and said, Brother Chambers, I got to tell you that I just cooked Barry a big steak and he's eat the whole thing. He said in 1 hour after you had prayed for him, he ate this steak. His throat was swollen shut, couldn't get a drop of water down it. And an hour later, he eats a big steak. He was starving to death. He's a big eater anyway. And he'd eat a steak. And Betty called Brother Chambers, Barry is well. And God has healed him. And she was praising God. And out of that, they got saved. You know, a miracle of healing will bring a sinner to Christ quickly. We need to see more of those sinners that don't know God and see them healed so that they want to turn to Jesus Christ. Well, that this woman was healed. And the disciples said, what are you saying, Lord? Who touched me? The throne is touching you. He said, but I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. So Jesus has virtue in him. That virtue, he's on the Father's right hand. And that virtue is sent out by the waves of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere the Holy Spirit is, and that's everywhere, there is the possibility of that virtue from Jesus flowing right through the person of the Holy Spirit. Get your church full of Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, and people will start getting healed. Get your church full of the Holy Ghost, and people will start getting healed. Get yourself full of the Holy Ghost, and He'll start healing when you pray for people. It's not us. It's not me. It has nothing to do with the flesh. This is all God's business. Do you understand? This is God's business. This is God doing things. And here we see this woman, an issue of blood, 12 years, has spent everything she had. She's now in the pauper's house. But she comes to Jesus, and she touches the hem of His garment. Oh, would you reach out right now and touch the hem of His garment by faith? Would you reach out and take a hold of that hem? No, you don't need to take a hold. Just touch it. Just touch it. It don't need to be in your grip. You just let your fingers pass over that smooth robe that is about the body of the Son of God. You say, I don't see that. Well, it's by faith. Right now, it's by faith. He's at the Father's right hand, and that makes Him even more ready to work a miracle for you. Makes Him even more ready to work a miracle for you. Well, I got so many. I don't want to tell too much. I got so much to tell tomorrow. Great day. I hope you'll be out here for me. I'll be telling it to the whole crowd in the parking lot, and we're going to pray for the sick tomorrow. We're going to have anointing oil out there, and we're going to promise anybody that comes up there that no hands will be laid on them. We'll simply touch the oil on their forehead, like the Bible says to do, and we'll believe the sick to be healed. Oh, we'll keep everybody 6 foot apart. We'll break no rules, and we'll see the sick healed tomorrow. I'm expecting it. And if you need a miracle, you're blind, you need to be healed, you need your sight, you're deaf, you need to hear, your eyes are giving you problems like mine are. Jesus is the healer. Oh, when I'm preaching something like this, you don't have to doubt I'm going to get healed. I do want you praying for me, though. I like everybody out there praying for me. I hope I have several hundred that commit themselves for Brother Chambers, because you know what I'm doing right now? I'm memorizing as many scriptures as I can. You won't believe how many new scriptures I'm getting into my memory, because if the Lord don't choose to heal me, but I believe He will. I'm not really doubting it, but I'm the kind that I'm going to make preparation. I'd preach without reading if I need to. I've already been in this Bible 68 years. And I'm telling you, this Bible is more wonderful. It gets more wonderful every day that I preach it. I'm telling you. Well, I gotta go another direction too. I was preaching a camp meeting in 1994 and 95 down in Bladenbury, North Carolina. That's the Emmanuel Holiness crowd. They have a big camp site down there, beautiful tabernacle, youth camp, and a lot of good things go on there. And they invited me to come preach that 2 years in a row. And I think it was the first year, but it may have been the second. I don't know. Either 95, 94, or 95. And I preached a sermon, and a young couple, David and Amy, is that Amy right? I think it is. David and Amy came up for prayer and said, Brother Chambers, we want a baby. We don't have any children. We are barren. I don't remember they saying both, but we're barren. And the doctor said we could never have children. He had two brothers that also could never have children. And they never have, by the way. But this brother wanted God to give him a miracle. I laid my hands on him, and the Holy Ghost touched me. And I prophesied. And I told him, God is going to give you a child. God is going to give you a child. Well, I want you to know that they now have two sons, and they pastor a church in the Lumberton area. Wonderful couple. I'd give you their last name in case you want to visit their church, but I didn't get permission from them, and so I won't do that. And if they want me to give the name, I will. Just call me on the phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And by the way, I'll take miracles from anybody else. I mean, calls from anybody else if you want to call and ask the question. But I'm here to tell you God gave that couple a baby, a child, and now two children. Isn't that beautiful? See, God does that. He opened the barren womb, or he healed the man. I don't know which was the one. That's none of my business. I just know they couldn't have children, and there were three brothers, and all were told they couldn't have children. So I presume it was the father. But it was a physical thing. It wasn't a lack of manhood. It was a physical problem. A physical problem, but God passed over that physical problem. But I got to tell you one more of those others that I've seen. But there was a couple of members of the church. I didn't ask them for permission, so I'm not going to give their name. They'd been married, I would say, 12 years, something like 12 years. I had performed the wedding, and they were part of the church, and this was in the building on Little Rock Road, and on Mother's Day. And by the way, tomorrow's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you precious mothers. Great day. You're precious. I got up yesterday morning wanting to find my Juanita so bad I didn't know what to do. You know, I forgot it was Mother's Day until later in the day I realized, no wonder my heart's crying out today. It's Mother's Day. She's been dead. Now this is the third Mother's Day that I've had to go through without her. And it's not easy. I got to tell you, she was my darling. She was my darling. But this dear mother and her husband were just wonderful two people. Wonderful two people. And on Mother's Day, she'd cried, they told me later, sought God all day, Father, I want a child. They'd been to doctors, I don't know what all they'd done. I never interfered in none of that and never asked the questions. I just heard it as they were talking, that they'd been to doctors, did all they know to do, and there was no answer. And on Wednesday night, I'm up preaching, teaching the Bible, and the Holy Ghost stopped me and spoke to me and said, go over and tell Keith, I'm about to get names here. Go over and tell this husband and wife that God's going to give them a baby. God's going to give them a child. I went over and stood over them, asked the whole congregation to join me in prayer. We all prayed together, believed God, and 9 months to the day, a son was born to that couple. 9 months to the day. To the day. That's how God is. God does things just in exact order. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to do it. And God is working right now. Could I tell you again? God is working right now. I think that's got to be the greatest thing I've been saying today, is God is working right now. God is working right now. Well, there's so many of these kind of miracles, and I'll tell more and more tomorrow. I hope you'll come and listen. I want to testify. I may preach longer than normal, but I want to testify and get everybody out there believing that this God is a God of the supernatural. He is the same. This is the scripture now. He is the same yesterday. That's in Hebrews chapter. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know whether this phone is rung or not, but if it rings and I can see it, I'll be glad to give you a chance to say what's on your heart. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Are you hearing me? Are you listening? Is anybody hearing me? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. He is the same. He is the same. Now, I want to go to Luke 9 because I want to make sure we build this on the Bible. We want to build this on the Bible. 9:38, I believe we're talking about. Let me make sure I find the right chapter and the right verse. And here we go in the name of the Lord. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look on my son, for he is mine only son. And lo, spirits take him. And he suddenly crieth out, and it tireth him, so that he foameth at the mouth, and bruising him, hardly leaving him alive. I mean, this is a man crying out to Jesus. Crying out to Jesus, and I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. The man had sought the disciples. Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he comes back down. And here these disciples are. And the man had come to them in the absence of Jesus and asked the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you and suffer you? Bring the son to me. Does he not say that today? Oh, church world, how long does the master bear you and suffer you? while your congregation goes on sick, and you yourself are unbelieving, and everybody has to seek the arm of the flesh because there's no move of the Holy Ghost in the house of God. We used to pray for people and anoint them with oil on a regular basis in the Pentecostal church. Oh, we saw so many people healed in those days. Oral Roberts was not a make-believe. He was a real man of God at one time. I know he left the way. Money got in his head and took him aside, and fame does that to a lot of people. But it can't do it to a real man of God. I'll tell you that right now. But Oral Roberts was used of God. I could name others that God has used in the past, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm not here to put nobody down. And I'm not here to build nobody up. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the only one, the Christ of Calvary. You can trust him. You can believe him. You can know. And it's so beautiful. Let me try to get it here. And as he was yet coming, and the devils threw him down. Now Jesus is right there. The devils threw him down and tore him, tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Can you see the picture? Here's the father crying out to Jesus. So Jesus starts where the child is. And before Jesus can get there, the demon comes on him and starts ripping him apart. He's foaming at the mouth. He's screaming, probably chewing his tongue. All kinds of stuff's going on. And Jesus gets there just in time. And he drives that devil. Get out of him, you devil, you. I don't know how he said it. He didn't say it like I did, I'm sure. But I'll tell you one thing, that devil got out of there. He was a gone devil. And he then gave the little child to his father. Healed. Healed. Oh, if you've got a sick child, why don't you hold that little child up in your arms and ask Jesus right now to let virtue flow through that child. Heal those blind eyes of that little girl or boy. Heal that body that's all torn and all full of pain. Heal that body that's all out of whack and need of a miracle. Father, I bind those devils and demons. They are the cause of all this sickness. Every ounce of it came from some spirit. Every ounce of it came by the powers of hell. This virus that we now are fighting came out of China, where God is hated, where churches are torn down, where Christians are killed. And that spirit came out of there. And I'll tell you right now, that spirit's full of devils and demons and the powers of hell. And all the destruction is the destruction of the devil. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the healer. I'm telling you, Jesus is still the healer. And he's able to heal right now. And I claim it done. I'm claiming somebody healed. I'm claiming somebody made well. I feel his presence so real in this office room. And I'm claiming you healed. Would you trust him? Would you turn to him with all your heart? Would you believe him? Men of God, listen to me. Let me tell a story that I need to tell. There was a young lady. She was my piano player at this given time, and nobody was better than her. Her first name was Donna, and she was at home. I lived in a trailer down off of 27, and she got very sick with a flu bug. I mean, she was sick. She was a sick little lady. I went down and prayed for her. Nothing happened. I went back the second day and prayed for her. Nothing happened. I think it was three times I went, nothing happened. And the Holy Ghost said to me, "You're the pastor. Go get yourself straightened out and get ready to pray for her." I came home and I said, "Mom, I prayed for Donna three times and nothing's happened. And God tells me I'm a pastor. I need to get on my face and I'm going to fast for a few days and then I'll go back." And so 3 days later, the Holy Ghost said, "You're ready now." "You're ready now." And I got up and hid it down to their house and went in. And I said, "Donna, the Lord has helped me now. I've had to spend 3 days to get myself straightened out and to fast and pray. And now I'm here to pray for you, and God's going to heal you." And he did. I mean, no question about it. He healed her. It was just about instant. I mean, that's how God works. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. But don't you think that you can just be a juicy little preacher with a pretty face, with fancy words and all kinds of emotions. That's not how it works, my brothers. It don't work that way. Jesus said to them that day, "This kind cometh not but by fasting and praying." This kind cometh not but by fasting and praying. My preacher friends, you need less steak and more prayer and fasting. My preacher friends, you need less fried chicken and more fasting and prayer. Saints of God, elders in the church, Sunday school teachers, mamas, dads, it don't matter who you are. You fast and pray like you ought to, and healing power will take hold of you. Did you know that history says that Martin Luther was endowed with all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost? All 9 gifts. He had the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge. He had faith. He had the gifts of healing. He had the working of miracles. He had the gift of prophecy. He had the discernment of spirits. And he spoke in tongues and gave interpretations of what the Holy Ghost had said in tongues. That's what history says. The Sous Book of History. That's the name of the book. I don't know that I remember the spelling, but I remember it was Sous Book of Church History. And it tells the story of Martin Luther with 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost working in this Lutheran. Did you hear that? This Lutheran. And then you can go to John Wesley's writings, and he wouldn't let anybody say that they didn't believe in speaking in tongues. He would always write them back and say, well, we got some around us that do. I remember, what was his name? I want to say it and it didn't come out. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was in England one time, and they was having a Holy Ghost revival in the Young Men's Christian Association. I mean, to remember when the Men's Christian Association, there was a women's too, when they were full of God, when they preached and prayed, and the Holy Ghost would move on them, and they had great prayer meetings. When I came to Charlotte in 68, they invited me up to the one here in Charlotte, and it was a group of old men, old ancient men, that still met there and had a prayer meeting. Only part of the place that had nothing to do with God anymore. Everything else had become secular and humanism. But this group still had God. Well, there's a meeting in England in the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, and the reports came back. They're speaking in tongues and giving prophecies, and the Holy Ghost is being poured out on them in Dwight L. Moody's meeting. Oh, come on, church. Get back to the real thing. Get back to the real power of the Holy Ghost. Whereas that's what I want. The Pentecostals today are no different from, say, the Baptists and the Methodists and the rest. They're mostly dead as doornails. There's no power. There's no anointing. There's no speaking. In fact, most of them, they don't even believe in speaking in tongues. That's been ruled out. Nobody praying for the sick. Listen to me. It don't matter what you are. Let's get back to God. He's coming. He's moving. Ooh, he's moving. I don't have any doubt about it. I'm telling you, God is on the move. God is on the move. You may not be moving, but God's moving. You may not move with him, but that's okay. God will leave you behind. He'll go right past you. And those who want to listen and hear from God will be right there with him. And they'll see God's hand and God's power. Wow, what a program. I hope you've been blessed. I hope I've got your attention. I hope you'll get a hold of God in your life. I hope you preachers will do something about where you are and get yourself back to where you ought to be. I'm telling you, if you'll get back to where you ought to be, God will move again and you can be in the middle of it. Do you hear me? God will move again and you can be in the middle of it. I want to be in the middle of everything God does. I don't want to be left behind. I'm not going to be left behind. I'm telling you that. You say, no, I'm not bragging. I'm His. I'm His. I got to see His hand. I got to see Him move. Now tomorrow, right out here, we're going to have a great church service. And I'm praying for mighty miracles of healing tomorrow. I am praying for the sovereign move of God to start. Wonders in the heavens above. I don't know when they're going to start. May start tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you, God is on the move. God is on the move. Say it with me. God is on the move. He's a supernatural God and He never faileth. I said He never faileth. He is great. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. He's blessed. And I love you. Now, I got 5 minutes. I don't know what I'm going to preach. Well, I do know what I'm going to preach tomorrow, but I don't know what all I'm going to tell. I may tell a little bit of what I've told today, but I've got a list of miracles that I've been trying to remember them and trying to get them all in my head. And there's so many. There's so many. Let me tell you one more. I called the pastor up at Black Mountain. Sometime last summer, been maybe a year ago, a little less. I'm not sure the exact date. And I called him and said, can I come up? I built the church up there, by the way, members and I. And I said, I want to come out and pray in that church I built. I want to see if y'all are taking care of it. And by the way, it's a beautiful place. Black Mountain, North Carolina. I built a beautiful church there. Beautiful church. In fact, Billy Graham's wife sat there for a funeral one time, and I was so honored. It was a man that had been a garden keeper up at their place where they lived up on the mountain, some back behind where the church was. And she came, but can I come up and have a day to pray there, half a day to pray there? And the pastor said, yes, I can't be there, but I'll get another preacher to come. So he got another young man whose name was Kilpatrick, Reverend Kilpatrick, and him and his wife came to let me in and to be there with me. I didn't know they was going to stay, but it was all right with me. And I said, you know, you're the Kilpatrick son, aren't you? Yes, I am. I said, you remember the miracle God gave your mother? He said, of course I do. She had a garter on her throat, and y'all prayed for her, and the garter disappeared. I said, yep, I remember. I didn't know whether anybody up here ever remembered that miracle or not, but I sure am glad you did. And he remembered that miracle of God healing that garter and it disappearing from her throat. That used to be a big thing happening. I don't know why they had garters years ago, but I don't hear of it anymore. Maybe it happens and I just don't know. But I know God used to heal them. God will heal anything wrong. Did you know that? I had cancer and he healed it. Had a heart attack and he healed it. Had gallbladder and he healed it. I had whatever it was, and I don't know what it was. Grief over my little woman that had gone to heaven last year and God healed me. I just want you to know he's the healer. He's the healer. I'm telling you, there's a healer in the house. There's a healer in Gilead. One place said there's a bomb in Gilead, it says. Oh, friends, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is everything he ever said he was. And he'll never be anything less than he said he was. He never will. He cannot change. He is the Almighty. He's the Eternal. He's the Great. He's the Sovereign. And I care about you. Now, I want to invite you to come to that service out in the yard tomorrow, 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, right out there. We've been having good crowds. Our church hasn't suffered at all. Well, we have suffered, but not really. Not any lasting suffering. God's been with us and took care of us. And maybe by Sunday week, we'll be back in the sanctuary. I think we will. I don't know for sure. But I do know the school has gone on in the homes. And we'll be getting ready now for next year. We're going to have a summer program. We'll be announcing that in a few days. And we want you to get involved with us. We want you to get in the middle of this great church because Holy Ghost revival is coming to Paul Creek. I don't know where else it's coming to. I'm not responsible for two buildings or three buildings or four. I'm only responsible here. And I'm telling you, before God, we're going to have a Holy Ghost move. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. Can't wait. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to be a part of it. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. I want you to be part of it. I want you to have miracles. I want you to have healings. I'm trying to make sure my time. Got a minute here. Now, do you need a miracle? Father, I pray for every person listening to me. Let virtue flow through their body. Let healing occur mighty from the Holy God. Show them your power and your glory. Show them your grace and your miracles. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. And you faileth not, God. You faileth not. And I believe in your mighty power. Touching somebody right now. Touching somebody right now. Listen. Listen.
Master.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, that's just something.
Like the fragrance
after the rain.
After
I love you. I love you.
Rain.
Tell everybody you know. Put this up and share it with everybody on your family. You can. It'll be here archived. You can play it over and over and over. Others can listen. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Kingdom.